Brothers. What an interesting relationship that is. When my two sons were boys, they spent much of the time hitting each other over the head with plastic swords, wrestling, arguing, playing football and scoffing pizza together. They caused a fair amount of havoc, even in Sunday school, as some of the older members here today may recall. I once met a lady who had spent her life working in a boys' school and had just retired after 30 years. Looking back, she said she had spent her entire career taking sticks away from small boys. Today, we're hearing in our series, Heroes of the New Testament, about the brother of Jesus, James, in Hebrew, Yaakov, known to church history as James the Just. Now, Jesus had four brothers, James, Joseph, Simon and Judas, and probably Jesus was the eldest. As far as we know, they were all brought up together with two sisters. And although it must have been clear that Jesus was an exceptional child, to his brothers as he was growing up, he would have been one of the family, and they probably teased each other, played games and laughed, tussled and joked, just as brothers do. And in our Bible passage today, we encounter Jesus and his brothers at a crucial point in his ministry in Galilee. Just after Jesus has given some hard truths to a large group of his disciples about how tough it is going to be to follow him. His brothers now ask Jesus to come to the Festival of Shelters and show himself in Judea if he wants to be a public man. But Jesus declines and goes instead in secret. And the text says that even his brothers do not believe in him, meaning that they did not yet understand that he was the Messiah, even though they knew he was capable of miracles and had a growing following as a teacher. James gets no specific mention in this text, and it's only much later that he begins to figure more prominently. After the crucifixion and following Jesus' instructions, James accompanies the apostles and the women who followed Jesus, his mother and his other brothers, to an upper room in Jerusalem, where they prayed and waited for the gift of the Holy Spirit. James, the brother of Jesus, was present when God sent the Holy Spirit to that small group, at which point the New Testament church was born. And from Jesus' resurrection onwards, James gave himself entirely to God and soon became an important figure in the early church. His role was so important that Peter told others to report to James his miraculous release from prison. And James apparently became pastor of the Jerusalem church. The apostle Paul, after his conversion, met with Peter and James before seeing any of the other apostles. And later we see James advising Paul and Paul acting on his advice. So early on in Jesus' career then, James is seen, along with his three brothers, as not giving Jesus the respect that he was due. James and the other brothers did not at first understand his mission, which saddens Jesus, and he spoke from personal experience when he said, "Only in his own hometown, amongst his relatives, and in his own house, is a prophet without honour." However, after the death of Jesus and his resurrection, James and his brothers joined the company of believers, now convinced that Jesus was the promised Messiah and the Son of God. A special appearance by Jesus to James, mentioned by Paul in 1 Corinthians, probably played a major part in James's change of mind. And when Jesus wrote his epistle 30 years after the crucifixion, his humility is clear. He identified himself as James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that letter from James is loaded with encouragement and filled with ideas about how to build Christian character. James was writing to his countrymen, giving practical instruction about Christian life. He taught about wisdom and careful use of our words and reminded people faith is vital, but Christian acts are of major importance. He wrote at length about patience, patience in adversity, patience in good works, patience under provocation, under persecution and oppression. Because in the end, Christ will right all wrongs. He also taught godly wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give to all liberally and without reproach. And when we ask, we must believe beyond doubt that what God has promised, he will deliver. And James is tough on sin. He says that it begins with a desire to have or do something which we should not have or do. And that expands into sin and ultimately destroys our Christian life. And in one crucial line, he says, come near to God and he will come near to you. How important is that? I often find myself in my daily life so preoccupied with the challenges in my work and family issues that I forget to think about God. That doesn't mean I lose faith. I just forget that God is there as the core of all our lives. And it's only often when I find myself in confusion and overwhelmed by life's challenges that I remember God and find my balance again. There is a great saying, walk towards God and God will run towards you. And that is what James is saying. Now, not long after writing his epistle in AD 62, James was martyred in Jerusalem. According to the historian Josephus, James was accused by the high priest and condemned to death by stoning. Eusebius, another historian, adds details. He said that the scribes and the Pharisees took James to a public place, the top of the wing of the temple, and demanded that he should renounce the faith of Christ before all of the people. James refused and declared before the whole multitude that Jesus was the Son of God, our Saviour and Lord. At that point, they threw James, this just man, from the temple height, and although he was not killed by the fall, they began to stone him. Following his brother's example to the last, he said, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. He was eventually killed by a blow to the head with a club. He showed the same kind of courage that Christians today are showing in the first face of persecution in many parts of the world. The kind of courage that that brave woman in the Sudan showed recently when she refused to give up her faith in the face of death. James had come to realize that Jesus had given his life for him. And when the time came, he confidently and faithfully gave his life for his brother. James taught us about faith, telling us that true faith is demonstrated by how we are, how we live, and what we do. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So what lessons can we take from the life of James today? Courage, certainly, as he faced death for his beliefs. The early Christians possessed immense physical courage, facing death and beatings on a frequent basis to get the church onto a firm footing. It's a long way from our comfortable lives. And James also had the ability to develop in his faith and become a stronger Christian, as he takes on a full belief in Jesus after the resurrection and a major place in the church. And for today, let us close by emphasizing his message that faith without works is dead. This week, shall we take on his call to come near to God and he will come near to you? Let's just sit quietly and think for a minute what Christian work and actions we can take this week to come closer to God. It may be joining a group that does charitable works. It may be helping a disabled person on the tube or buying the big issue or visiting a sick person at home or in hospital. So let's just stay quiet for 1 minute and pray for God to give us a chance to do some Christian works this week and come close to him as James encouraged us to do. Just Sit quietly for a minute. Amen.